Turuntuset tulee jo on äl.
Today we will talk about how to enter UK market. And to introduce the topic, I would like to say that, as we all know, Estonian economy is very dependent on exports. Traditionally, we have been exporting mostly to our neighboring countries. But as we see, interest towards other markets is also increasing. We know that the four biggest trade partners currently are Sweden, Finland, Russia, and Latvia, and UK has been on the 11th place. My first question comes to you, Neil. If a company wants to prepare to enter UK market, where should they begin?
Okay, well, I think in terms of the UK market, it's that there's a lot of product sectors that are pretty saturated at the moment. So I think that the research into what products you have available, what competition there's available in the UK is probably the first step you need to take. So almost assessing how feasible your product is in the UK to start with. If after all of that research you think that there is a market for your product or the competition is particularly weak, then you know you need to start deciding whether you're going to partner with somebody, whether you're going to set up your own office, you know, all the various routes to market in the UK. I would never underestimate the amount of research you need to do into the potential with the UK, especially when it comes to the product sector. But you've got to really look at the various routes, various organizations that you might be able to partner with, whether you can get clients to be reference sites or case studies for you to help you get into the market more. So do it on a slowly kind of approach, just getting one customer at a time and then building from there and then opening up with a good partner or your own facilities. But I do think that the research is the key.
Neil, what are the first steps in the research? What should I do as an entrepreneur? Come to UK, go shopping, or are there any smarter ways of understanding what the competition
is? Ask the taxi driver, probably.
Well, London taxi drivers are probably the most knowledgeable people in the world. I think you do have to visit. I think getting onto some networking events with institutes, the various institutes, people like the Institute of Marketing, Institute of Purchasing and Supply, the Institute of Export, you know, on some events with banks, with solicitors, just doing a good level of networking could help in a big way. I mean, obviously, if you're aiming your products at the retail sector, then coming here, going into the shops, I think is important. What you sometimes have to bear in mind is that the UK is a very regional market. So you might see things in Manchester that you wouldn't see in Birmingham, that you may see in London. So, you know, you have to consider that as well. But there are some very good bank events that you can go on that are public knowledge. They're sort of advertised on the bank's websites. The Institute of Export, we do a lot of work with people like UKTI and the Chambers of Commerce. So, you know, just getting to one institute and using them as a springboard to other institutes and organizations can help in a big way. Also, just, you know, Googling. You know, it sounds very basic, but if you're using the right search terms, you can glean a lot of information. And asking around, you know, I think the institutes is probably the best way because they connect the most kinds of businesses together.
I often hear that Estonian companies are thinking that they are so small that in order to increase the turnover, 50%, they need to just sell for €500,000, not more. And then they think that, okay, I just go there, I take the first contact I find, and probably they buy something, and so it starts. So they really don't think that any research would be helpful, just wasting the time.
Well, yeah. It depends on what kind of goals that you have. I think the bigger your ambitions, the more you need to research. If you want to start slow and you don't do your research, the chances are you're going to be slow for a long time. So, you know, researching and getting a good indication of where the market is, where you need to aim your products at, your pricing, your structure, you know, whether you're using partners, I think, you know, that you need to have your long-term objectives known as close as possible to when you start. I think it's the only way that you can plan properly and determine how you're going to get into that market and make it a success. If you don't do your research, the risks of failure are probably a lot higher than if you did research and did a really thorough job in that research.
Absolutely. You also mentioned that the regionality is important in the UK. Does it mean that you might find easier to enter the market using maybe not London as your first entry point, but let's say Manchester, Birmingham, or other cities that are not kind of so famous?
Yeah, I think people tend to aim at London in the UK. I mean, London is roughly six times bigger than the next biggest city, so it always seems sensible. But if your product isn't geared towards a London audience, you know, London is a very built-up area. You know, then going for another city, another big city like Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Newcastle, Liverpool, you know, could be a better alternative. It really depends on the product. You've also got to consider pricing, because you can charge better pricing in London than you could in, say, Newcastle. So I think it all comes down to the type of product that you have, how quickly you want to penetrate the market, how you're going to penetrate the market, and, you know, where your market is. You know, if you're aiming at construction, then you have to look at London suburbs, or other cities. If you're looking at retail, then, you know, the choice is yours. But it all boils down to the product that you're trying to bring into the market.
Absolutely. You already told about the kind of events where our entrepreneurs could come and get to know people and in order to find some partners. But do you think that these are the best ways to find the partners if a company aims a specific section? Let's say that I'm a company who makes, I don't know, plastic windows. Would it be kind of, what is the chance that I go to a banking event and find my potential customer from there? Or is it just getting to know people and building network in general?
I think it's building the network in general, because, you know, you might go to a bank event that has 200 companies there and you could find nobody. But if you get around those 200 companies as much as possible and talk to everybody, the chances of somebody knowing somebody else who could be a potential partner is actually quite high for any product. You know, the UK isn't a particularly big place, but it's a very well-connected place. Okay. And I'm always surprised by the people I meet at networking events on just how connected they are. So when I say I'm looking for a company that exports plastic windows from the UK because I have a software product that's geared specifically towards them, then somebody at every event I go to will probably know someone else I can talk to get me to that goal.
Okay, interesting.
But the other, there is another way of getting in, and that's through the Enterprise Europe partnership. I don't know if you've heard of that, but we have an Enterprise Europe partnership where I can register in the UK with any particular region, and I can say I'm looking for European partners who supply plastic glass. And if any company in Estonia goes onto their Enterprise Europe website or sees somebody, they can broadcast that through the network, and then anybody specifically looking for that particular product sector can pick that up and run with it.
Okay.
Yes, I wanted to ask, you've probably been to such events many times. Have you seen any Estonian companies there?
No.
Not yet.
I don't remember seeing any yet. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any shortage? It's a simple question and hard to answer, but in the beginning you told us that the market is very saturated in most of sectors. But is there any shortage you've seen or heard in England that we can take to our information to our listeners and say that, boys, it's your time now?
Well, I think in terms of shortage, that's probably in terms of resource, could be in some sectors in terms of quality, products at the right price. There can be shortages in certain markets at that. But I think in terms of having a product to do something, it's very difficult to come up with something new. Very, very difficult. And I think that applies to most markets, actually. But you know, it's difficult to think of one thing off the top of my head that you know I could say, well, this is where we're definitely short. where I'm short, you know, as far as software goes, is resource. You know, getting the right people. But of course, that's a completely different issue.
We have a couple of persons, so we can sell them.
You better send them over.
We will send them over for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But let's go on. Let's say so that really the Estonians are becoming, I don't even know, brave enough what the right word would be, and they are really starting to visit the events and finding the partners or possible partners and then finding someone who would be interested in the products. What are the next steps? Is it enough to just give a call, to chat a bit, or how often should a company visit the UK partners in order to really build trust and open up ways for business?
Well, I think in terms of having a partner, I don't think you'll... Well, I think that the occasions that you'll actually do business without meeting will be very rare. I think you have to meet, you have to build a rapport, and I think the only way you can do that in the UK is to meet people. I would certainly never expect to sell our software to a company in the UK without meeting the buyers first. And I think that goes... You know, also for finding partners, I think you have to meet them, you have to gain their trust, you have to gain their respect, and they also have to gain yours. You know, I think it's a two-way thing. You know, you want to feel comfortable with the people that you're going to deal with. You can talk on the phone, you can assess, you know, whether it's viable or not and qualify it over the phone. But I think in terms of getting a sensible deal or trusting that person, you have to meet them. In the UK, they would expect you to. I don't think you have to see them that often. It depends on the volume of business. But, you know, I would have thought once a quarter would be enough in most markets and most products. You know, the higher the volumes, I think the more often you'd need to see them. Obviously, the more problems there are, the more often you'd have to see them as well. But, you know, generally, once you've gained the trust of someone in the UK, unless you do something to prove otherwise, you have their trust for as long as you deal with them.
Absolutely. I just go on. Let's say that everything went well and I'm being a good person building up the trust and we'll really come closer maybe to the first deal. What kind of marketing is expected and how much her small Estonian companies is expected to spend on marketing in UK?
Well, I think obviously it depends on the market. It depends on where you're aiming your marketing, whether you're aiming it at retail. I think if you're aiming it at retail, then, you know, it really depends on how you want to do it. If you're going to do it through an advertising campaign, you know, you're probably budgeting, you could pick a figure out of the sky. You know, obviously the more you spend, the more exposure you have. I would probably tend to try and find a PR or marketing company in the UK to do it with. I'm all for, you know, advising people to pay experts to do the job in market. So if you can find a public relation company or a good marketing company in the UK to do it for you, then I would probably do that. And you're probably looking, you know, if I was going to launch a new product in the UK and pay a PR company to do it, I would probably look to between 10 and 20,000 sterling.
Yeah.
To do a really, really good marketing campaign. If I was launching my kind of software in the UK, then I would be looking at probably advertising in 3 or 4 select magazines at about between £1,000 and £1,500 each. So I think, you know, it really depends on the products, but you have to put some money aside. And, you know, the more you're going to do, the more expensive it's going to be, which is logical. It really depends on the product, but pay somebody to do a really good job of it.
Yes, sorry. I just wanted to ask another question. Sometimes we here in Estonia, we hear from people from Great Britain, but people even don't know such a country as Estonia. What are your emotions towards the name Estonia? What do you think? Who we are here?
Well, I would have thought probably the public perception of Estonia is a Balkan country, ex-Russia, probably most people would think, Eastern Europe. Not a lot is known about Estonia here. That's probably what the public perceive it as. I would have thought that most Eastern European countries that we trade with have a good attention to detail, so quality we would expect. Pricing, we would expect probably good pricing. So, you know, that's the perception. But I think that's more of an Eastern European thing than a particularly Estonian thing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But let's say
that's not necessarily my perception, but I think that's probably what the public perception of Estonia would be.
Okay, but how wise would it be to market your product as made in Estonia in UK? Would you suggest, or would you say that it's better to say made in EU or next to Russia, or I don't know?
I would probably. I don't think there's any shame at all in saying you're Estonian. I think there are certain countries in Europe that you would probably avoid saying that your goods are made there or you come from there, but I really don't think Estonia is one of them.
But what are the countries? what you would be ashamed of hearing that something is made there?
Well, historically, probably 5 years going back, I think Poland. You have to remember that this isn't my perception. This is what I think the general public perception is. Okay,
we make
it's
a press release.
Apology.
Yeah. I think. You know, you would look twice about buying particular products from places like Turkey, like Greece. And I know Turkey isn't EU, but they're Greece, maybe Portugal, Spain. The markets where the economies are not necessarily struggling, but certainly not in the top sort of 5 or 6. But I don't think you have that problem in Estonia.
Okay, I think in that way we are not there. At least, so it's really good to hear. Tell me, what are the biggest challenges what the importers face in UK?
I think some of the biggest challenges the importers face are finding the right products at the right price that they want to aim to their particular market at. Certainly the companies that I deal with when they're importing, I mean, most 95% of my clients export as well. So they're importing and then they're exporting it somewhere else or doing a direct shipment. But the biggest problem they face is getting to the right companies to get the right product at the right price.
Does it mean cheaper than cheap?
No, it's all about value for money. You know, there are UK companies, a lot of UK companies who feel they can charge a higher price because of the service they offer backing that up. So they're not, it's not all about price, but it is all about value for money. You know, if you get a very, very good product, you would expect to pay a premium price. If you get a load of rubbish, you wouldn't expect to pay much for it. But everybody is looking for the premium product at the cheap price. That's the unfortunate thing.
We have heard here in Estonia also the kind of horror stories about the fierce competition in UK and about the cases that when you enter the UK market, you have to be aware of the competition, and they really try to do everything in order to get you out from the market, either trying to, I don't know, if you are selling in a gas station, maybe they try to ask their sales staff to put their own products in front of your products in order to limit your opportunities to sell or in your opportunities to take the market share. Is something
absolutely.
Is that real? Should we
it
be
is.
Aware of that?
It is absolutely real, and there are quite a few cases where big food retail companies have persuaded supermarkets, gas stations, wherever, to use the whole of a shelf for their products so that nobody else can get in there. And they are very true. I think we're now in an age where the supermarkets are a little more intelligent, and if they can see a product that's going to be appealing to their customers, they can be swayed a little bit easier now. But the big companies here have a lot of power, and they do sway the buyers in other companies quite heavily in what could be seen as very shrewd ways. But again, this comes down to the research. You know, if you research the market and you see there are some very big, very well established, very well known brands in your marketplace here, then you're going to have a tough time.
Okay. Is it true only in the retail sector or in other sectors as well, let's say software or business to business, I don't know, machinery or materials?
I don't think so. I think in the retail sector it's more prominent. Okay. Because there's more volume in the retail sector, and in a lot of occasions, obviously more profitability, more money. So, you know, that's what they're prepared to do.
Yeah, absolutely. How long time would it take to get a kind of, I don't even know, a percentage from, let's say, from UK market in a product category? How many years should I work for that? For my company?
I think if you're in the retail sector, you probably have to give it 2 to 5 years to get to a point where you can be happy that you are established in the UK. Again, it depends on the competition that you have. The more competition you have, the harder work you're going to find it. Especially if there are well-established British brands in that marketplace.
Do we have to be afraid of British brands, first of all?
Well, I don't think you have to be afraid of them, but you have to show them a bit of respect, because British people will try and buy British, the majority. So, but that doesn't mean to say that they won't buy a competitive product if they see the sense in doing so. You know, yes, British people are very patriotic, but if they can see value for money in buying a product from Estonia, they will do.
Does it mean that an Estonian yogurt, in case it happens to be in Selfridges, let's say, has to be cheaper than the local British yogurt in order to be chosen?
Well, the first thing I would say there is if it's cheaper than a local product, people would ask why. And their general conclusion would be that it's of a lesser quality.
Oh, okay.
So if you're going to import a product into the UK and put it alongside British products and make it cheaper, I think that could work against you.
Okay.
I think there's a good reason for a premium price there.
So everyone can calculate and think that the transportation will cost you something and so on, so the product cannot be cheaper than the locally made.
And absolutely. And what is special about that product that it has to come from somewhere like Estonia rather than Great Britain? So you know, the Estonian company has to look at the reasons why, you know, we should buy that product over something that's British. And if it offers something different, maybe different flavors, maybe different qualities, health, you know, health is a big issue here. So, you know, if it offers something that can lose 2 pounds of weight a week, you know, that would be a very, very strong incentive for a British person to buy it.
Okay.
And in the right places, you know, and this is where geographical regions come into it, in the right places, you can charge quite a premium for something that offers a little difference.
Would it be smart thinking about testing the market in the UK, or is it just waste of time?
Again, I think that comes down to the product that you're looking at. I think putting a prototype promotion type marketing campaign in could in some markets be advantageous. The problem with testing is that you're going to do that in very specific areas and the results may not reflect the results that you would get in other areas. So I think you have to take that on a product by product basis. I think you'd have to be very careful with who you did that testing with. You know, if you went into somewhere like Selfridges, Harrods and did testing there, you would get a lot more credibility than if you went into somewhere like Asda, Tesco's, Waitrose, Morrison's. So you know, if I was going to do any testing, I'd look for the higher end retail outlets.
Would they consider let you test a new product in their stores?
I haven't seen anybody testing products in the premium stores, but I've certainly seen products being tested in the other stores. But again, I think if you're offering something that's different, that the store is not sure about, and you could offer them an incentive to let you test them, I think they'd be open to the idea.
Okay. You also mentioned that to enter the market, you have to kind of find the route to the market in the right way. And I wanted to ask about the references. How should I choose a right reference for the market as a UK?
Well, I think if you can get one client in the UK that is a recognised name, then you're well on the way to doing really well in the UK. I think the reference site that you have has to be something that other people will know. So when I'm looking at reference sites for my business, certainly in the UK, you know, I need names that people recognize in that market.
Okay. So it means that that it's not only if I, for instance, if I sell, I don't know, printing materials, or if I'm a printing house in Estonia and I want to export in UK, so my first client needs to be a kind of well-known name. What should I do in order to get them? Should I do the first printing for free in order to get them as a reference for the others, or are there any other things?
Well, I think in terms of getting the reference, this is where the research comes in again, because if you did the right research, you would identify those clients that would be strategically positioned for you. And then I do think you would have to offer incentives, maybe not free, because that always seems a little desperate.
Okay.
So, you know, but certainly, you know, try us at a discounted rate. And if you like us, you know, we can negotiate, and we can negotiate on the basis of you being a reference site for us.
Is that a common practice?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I see it all the time.
Okay. And now I come to my final question that we always, in our marketing radio, have a kind of real-life example. And usually we talk about log houses. And so this is the sector Estonia is, I think, the fourth biggest exporter in Europe.
Okay.
So it's a big and rather important sector for us. So the question is that what should a company, an Estonian one, do in order to enter UK market with the log houses?
Well, I have absolutely no experience of log houses at all.
You don't live in log house?
No, I don't.
So maybe you will be a first client.
Have you seen them in the UK
client.
Market at all?
I'm happy to be a reference.
Okay, we'll send you a house.
If it was me exporting log houses to the UK, I would look at what building or contracting firms there were. I would target at somewhere, probably one particular county, maybe in the west of the country, maybe southwest or north. It depends what kind of market the log houses are geared towards. And I would look for building contractors, big building companies, and I would target them as potential partners. But I would certainly look at partners for log houses rather than trying to sell direct.
Why?
Well, because there are some there are some very well established building companies in the UK that have I've got to be careful what I say here, but they've got quite a lot of power with planning officers in the councils. So to actually get into the UK and sell direct to end buyers, you know, they would have to get the planning permission to erect them. And that's going to be a lot tougher for one man to do than a big well-established building contractor.
Okay.
Okay.
Bureaucracy is everywhere.
Absolutely. And at every level.
Are there any tricks? How should our company, what should our company do in order to make the possible partner in UK become interested in the products?
Well, I think that the product has to be a little bit different. You know, going back to price, it has to be something that the building contractor could make money with, that could sell in the area that they are actually working in. I think they have to be aware of all of the benefits of a log house over any other type of house. And maybe there are some shortcuts in the bureaucracy because it's a log house rather than a traditional brick build. So I think getting to know the bureaucracy would help, particularly the loopholes in that bureaucracy, because there's always loopholes. I think getting to the right building contractor that has built buildings that are different. They don't have to be log, but I think they have to be different. So you're looking at a niche building contractor in a market that can and has proven to buy houses that are different.
How should I find the type of contractor? Should I just go to the country and look at the houses, knock at the doors and ask, can you tell me who was building your house? Or are there any smarter ways and easier ways?
Well, that's probably the least attractive way of doing it, because you're going to have to try and find the area. I think, again, you know, Google building contractors, look at what building contractors and building firms there are in the UK, look at what houses they've actually built. You know, use some, if you can get into networks where you've got construction type businesses in, and there are construction networks in the UK, then do some networking, ask around, look at what houses are on the market. You know, use a website like Rightmove, look at what houses are on the market in different areas, and just generally spread your research as wide as possible.
I have one more question before we move on. We sometimes in our radio programs talk about this door-to-door marketing, and we find it very interesting and growing and etc. Would you suggest it to retailers or somebody who needs really to sell, but it's difficulties with those British brands? Maybe we should go door-to-door.
Well, I think, yeah, 10, 20 years ago, that may have
Do you have doors in Great Britain?
we have doors, but the reception you would get trying to sell door-to-door would be very cold. It's not something that obtains results now.
So it's not working in Great Britain?
It's not working now, and typically the only kind of door-to-door sales that I see where I live would be religious groups. So, you know, if you're not a religious person, you would be very cold towards anybody knocking on the door that you didn't know.
Okay, if it's not a locked church you want to sell, then don't knock the doors.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. But yeah, we also get a lot of what we would call junk mail. So, you know, when you get a newspaper or a magazine, there's always a pile of mail in it. And that was what was kind of designed to replace the door-to-door sales, so the mass mailing. And I don't think there's a lot of mileage in that either now.
Okay, you don't open your mails.
What you tend to do is you look at the envelope, you open it, you think they're trying to sell something to me, and it goes in the bin.
Okay.
Unless you can make it really striking, then I just think it's a waste.
Yes, you made me sad, but nothing to do.
Okay.